are pretty deep, actually. I was talking, I think it was Mark, and we're talking in general. And he goes, yeah, actually, you even asked questions I didn't know I had. So I guess that's a good thing. I'm not trying to stir things, but I think it's good for us to look at God's Word and just kind of explore it. In here, God has given us so much information. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. You want to increase your faith, increase your knowledge of the Word of God and apply it to our lives. And so the question came in, can you please explain Revelation chapter 17? Woo! Now, we were doing Bible study, and we probably spent about 2 weeks on Revelation chapter 17. And so Bible study is about an hour and a half long, so roughly 3 hours. So buckle up, because good thing we have lunch afterwards. No, I'm not going to keep you here for 3 hours on all that. But in here, I just want to give you kind of the quick answer to kind of a little bit, but then I want to take a step back, because in here we talk about the work of Satan in this world. And in here we have a decrease of the truth of who Jesus is. This morning we did communion, which is the picture of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. That the gospel, at the core of it, that we are sinners. We are all sinners. It's interesting in, you know, sharing the gospel with someone. And you start with that premise that we are sinners, and people get all offended. You know, I'm not that bad. It's not a matter of how bad you are. Right? You may be better than I am. But in here, according to God's standards, we all fall short. For all have sinned and what? Fallen short of the glory of God. And by our nature, we are separated from Him. And you may be better than I am. If we all lined up down here by the Bucksport Bridge, and we all took about 4 steps back and ran, and we all jumped as hard as we could to try to get across, some of you might jump farther than I am. But I can guarantee you, none of us would make it across. And that's the picture we have of the grace that is needed. That Jesus Christ died for us. He paid the penalty for our sins. And though our sins be as scarlet, we shall be made white as snow. And that's the good news, is He paid the penalty for your and my sins. And in here, we repent of our sins, we turn from the sin, and follow Him. And He is our Lord and our Savior. He saves us from our sin, but now He is our Lord. He is the one we follow. And that's the core of the gospel. But it is an offense to those who want to say, I'm good enough. Right? And so in here, we talk about this idea of false religion seeking in and seeping in all areas of our lives. Even those who say they are unreligious have a religion of secular humanism or other philosophies. Faith is wired into us. And the question is, what do we put that faith in? But you know, I'm getting ahead of myself. So Revelation chapter 17, grab your Bibles, kind of take a look at this, because this is one of those passages you read and you're like, what? We talk about a woman that's riding a beast, and the beast has all these heads and all these horns, and what is all of this? And like I said, I'm pulling this out of a whole study of Revelation. But luckily, one of these passages in here is we have the interpretation within the passage. I love it when God does that. Oftentimes, when God asks questions, just read a little bit further, because God often answers those questions for us. So we're going to just kind of leapfrog quickly into this. Then I'm going to pull out and kind of take a grander theme as we look at this. Revelation chapter 17, verses 3 through 5, we have this vision that is taking place. John, by revelation of God, is given these visions of the future. So we're talking about these are future events. I think we've done like 3 questions about the end times already. Right? We talked about the rapture of the church last week. We talk about sort of the events of the end times. We talk about the Antichrist. We talked about those things the last few weeks. If you missed something, go back on Facebook or YouTube. We have the sermons that are still on there. But in here, Revelation chapter 17, verses 3 through 5, it says, so he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. And I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which is full of names of blasphemies, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. And on her forehead was written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. quickly throughout the Revelation, we have it revealed that in the beginning, there's a peace treaty that's signed with Israel. And then in the first 3.5 years, God is pouring judgment upon this earth. At this point, the Antichrist is gathering up this one world system. This is called Babylon. Now, it's interesting here, the term mystery of Babylon, and I think this has a religious tone to it. I think if we go through the book of Revelation, as we get towards that final day, we can kind of see the pieces kind of falling in place today, that in here, under the reign of the Antichrist, will be a one-world government. He will be king and ruler over that. There is a religious aspect to it, that in here, as the churches, I believe, will be taken out, the Holy Spirit will be removed, that in here, there will be a move towards a one-world religion, which ultimately the Antichrist puts himself as God over. And we see this, right? We're seeing a mishing and mashing of our governments and pushing towards a one-world government. We're seeing religious-wise. We're kind of the oddballs out. I always kind of talk about how, I remember several years ago, the World Council of Churches, which is not a very conservative group, was praying that God would remove the evangelicals out because we are in the way of all these religions coming together. And I'm like, hey, that sounds like the rapture. Lord, come, take us out of the way. I'm all for that. But we who are Bible-believing Christians, we are a thorn in the flesh of this world system. Because if we believe God's word is true, and we stand on it, we cannot compromise it, we are in the way. Amen? And so that's why they hate us. Jesus says, look, right? They hated him. Don't be surprised. They're going to hate you, which is a great selling point for the church. Hey, come and be hated. But we have the words of truth. And the disciples, when Jesus was teaching some hard things, and the crowds were leaving, he looked to his disciples, are you going to leave too? And they said, how can we? You have the words of truth. That in here, I cling to the truth of the word of God. And I want to stand on it, and I want to learn it, and I want to apply it. It doesn't fit with the world system, right? They just want to say, love is love, and it doesn't matter what you believe. Or now, as we're coming into a political year, it's like, oh, you can believe what you want privately, but don't you dare vote according to your beliefs, right? That's Christian nationalism, right? We're told to be quiet and just go along. And so we have all these things played out, and then the last aspect of Babylon, we have the one world government, we're going to have one world religion, and then the last aspect of it, we're going to see the commerce all brought under the same umbrella of Babylon. And we've seen that today, right? The government is in cahoots with social media, is in cahoots with commerce, right? We're seeing all these things kind of coming all together. I'm not saying this is the end, but I feel like I can see it from my house. So in here, we have this place. There's this woman who's riding in on this beast, right? She's got 7 heads and 10 horns. What is this thing? She's a beautiful woman, but in here, she's got this cup that's full of abominations and filthiness. And because I think it describes it as the mystery of Babylon, I think this is that one world system. I think we have contrast to the church, which is the bride of Christ, who is adorned in white. We have this scarlet harlot clothed in purple, which is the false religion. In here, we talk about this one world religion who's going to come up through. In Revelation, I believe it's chapter 13, that the Antichrist eventually declares himself God. We'll pick that up in just a second. Look what it says here in verse 9 through 11. And I appreciate here that John has the same question. What is this? And the angel replies, so we don't have to do too much interpretation because in here it's laid out for us. Look at verse 9. It says, and here is the mind which is wisdom. The 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the woman sits. These are, and I love it, like I said, he interprets this for us. These are 7 kings. 5 had fallen. 1 is and 1 is yet to come. And when he comes, he must continue a short time. And the beast that was and is not is himself also the 8th, and is of the 7, and is going to perdition. We're going to pull out a little bit and talk about this. This beast comes out of all the tribes and nations. This is worldwide. Helps us, we know a little bit book of Daniel. God gave Daniel a vision of the time of the Gentiles. That in here, this period of time, we have 7 major kingdoms of the Gentiles. The first one is Egypt. We have Assyria, Babylon, Medes and Persians, Greece, and Rome. It's interesting. He said, what? 5 of these have already taken place. John was alive during the reign of what? Rome. 1 is, and then what? 1 is left to come. So we see the harlot, if you will, riding on the kingdom of the Gentiles, this false religion, spirit of the Antichrist, I'll use that term, up through, that in here, all these kingdoms have had false religion. And we see this going hand in hand with all these kingdoms. And now it says there is one more kingdom left to come. I believe this is the last kingdom. This is going to be the kingdom of Babylon. Daniel, in his vision, he saw a statue. The last of it was his feet were clay and iron, which is a mixture of the Roman Empire and clay, but it wasn't really bound together. And I think we're kind of laying, you know, we have some of that foundation of the Romans, but we all kind of mish. The statue had 10 toes. Here we have 10 horns. We have these things all kind of pictured out in the scriptures. But in here, I believe this is talking about that in here, that there has been opposition to the gospel all throughout the generations. And so we have this harlot, this false religion, riding on the back of the nations. Hopefully that makes a little bit of sense. It says, in the 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings who have not yet, who have received no kingdom as yet. So who are these 10? I don't. Right? They haven't fallen in place yet. I remember we were in school, and our Revelation teacher was all excited. He'd show up in class. He goes, that's when the European Union started to develop. And he goes, this is it. These are the 10. And so one week we go in there, and he goes, oh, yeah. You know what? There's five nations have joined the European Union. He goes, we're getting close, guys. We're getting close. You know, a couple weeks went by. He goes, oh, they're up to 7. They're up to 7 kingdoms. Get ready. The Lord's coming back soon. Came back about 2 weeks later, and he goes, oh, there's 12. And then I think I got up to 13 and 14. He goes, well, maybe this isn't it. And so in here, I once again, I don't want to go outside of Scripture. We have the Gentile nations. We have the false religion right out through this. In the last time, there is going to be 10 kingdoms, or at least 10 authorities that were put in place. They're not there yet. So from this point, prophecy looking ahead is really hard to do. So in here, I don't know who these 10 are, right? But in here, it's going to happen. I just believe God's word and all that. And these all have one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. So in here, they will all be exalting and putting up the Antichrist as their authority. And then he'll make war with God's saints. So we see this carried out throughout the tribulation period. That actually, Christians are being killed during the tribulation period for their faith. I'm thankful. I believe in the rapture of the church. I believe it's going to be pre-tribulation. I believe we're going to be gone from out of here. Praise God. Things are bad enough as it is right now. Revelation chapter 17 continues. Look at verse 9. And then he said to me, the waters which you saw, where the harlot sits, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the 10 horns you saw are the beasts. These will hate the harlot and make her desolate and naked. Well, I believe what's going to happen is that we have the kingdoms of the world, and always been this aspect of false religion. And they've all had different gods, right? They worship. I believe there's a force behind those things that they worship. We're going to look at that in just a little bit. But all these things are taking place. And then Revelation 13 talks about the Antichrist will be wounded, be restored, and then he'll be worshipped. He'll declare himself God. At that point, I think that's what this is talking about, that all the nations of the world, now they are done with the harlot. The false religions have served their purpose, and now the world's going to turn around and worship the Antichrist as God. I believe that is what's taking place here. That here, all these kingdoms and nations will now turn on the false religion, and in here, put the Antichrist at the top of all of that. So, all these things are taking place. It's kind of laying in here. But in here, I want to talk about this idea of the false religions that's taking place in this world. And why these things take place. When we talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. What? No man comes unto the Father but through me. Salvation is only through Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, all the sacrifices didn't save you. We're told in the scriptures that the blood of sheep and goats didn't take away sins, but it was almost like an IOU, that each sacrifice pointed to the cross of Jesus Christ. Today, we took communion. It was a picture of what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us. We look back at the cross, In the Old Testament, they were looking forward to the cross, and when Christ declared, "It is finished," he paid for all the sins of all the world. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Verse you see in football games and all these things. It is the truth of the gospel that through Jesus Christ, what he did on the cross for us, he redeemed us. He is the only way, Matthew, Jesus' words, that he is the enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. But narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. You'll hear people say all the time, "Well, all roads lead to God." That is not true. All roads lead to hell except for one, Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Now, you want to find a religion that will tell you how to be a good person? You can probably pick anyone you want. But only one religion will see you past the grave. And that's all through Jesus Christ, who died, buried, and rose again, who is victorious over death and sin. Jesus says that those who believe in him have right to be called the sons of God. So in here, if this is true, and there's only one way, it's all through Jesus Christ, why are there all these other different religions throughout history? Why is there rejection of the one true God? I'm going to put out here two areas that I believe kind of play into why people are religious but not to the true God. Like I said, I believe everyone has sort of a God-shaped hole. That was a phrasing I heard as a kid. I think it really plays well. We all have a desire to worship something. Even if you talk to the most ardent atheist that's out there, it's funny, they'll use terminology like talking about karma. They'll talk about the universe wants this. They'll talk about Mother Nature, right? They have all these personifications of the world around us to help us make sense of it all. Where Jesus is our creator. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. He is the all in all. He is the answer of all these things. But if you reject that, you're still left with the questions. And men have been trying to fill that in with other things. Look at John 3:16. If you continue a little bit further, Jesus says this, "And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men like darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. For everyone who practices evil hates the light, does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth and comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have done in God." We turn around, we have this idea, why do men not turn to God? Because they don't want to be faced with their sin. They don't want to be faced with their sin. Men like darkness rather than light. See, the problem is that when people believe that Jesus is God, he came into this world, he died on the cross for their sins, that calls for a response on our part. When we hear the gospel, do I believe it? Do I receive it? That I'm a sinner and I need grace. But wait a minute, I like my sin. I don't want to turn from my sin. So what can I do? I need to reject God and fill that with something else. And that's where false religion falls in. Romans chapter 1, I think we're living this in our day and age today. I find myself in this chapter often looking for answers. Romans chapter 1, verse 21 through 25 says, "Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened." Right? Isn't that the world we're living in today? Right? We know, no other country in the world has more of the gospel presented to us than our country does today. You can turn around, turn on the TV. You can turn on the radio and hear gospel. You can pick up books. Right? On your phone, you can grab and have any verse and any translation in the world. It's all available. You drive around, there's a church every couple of miles in here. If people want the truth of God, they could find it. Yet they don't. And because of that, they become empty in their thoughts. This is professing to be wise, they become fools and change the glory of the incorruptible God into the image made by corruptible men. What we've done now in our wisdom and our discernment, in our sort of elitism, if you will, right? How many times have you turned on the news and you listen to some of these professors and all these politicians who are supposed to be wiser and all, spouting the most blasphemous, foolish thing in the world. We have a Supreme Court justice that was asked if they could define what a woman is, and she said, "I do not know. I'm not a biologist." Proclaiming to be wise or foolish. You can ask a 5-year-old, right? I think you tell a 5-year-old girls have cooties. That's how you tell the difference. Girls have cooties, boys don't. I try and encourage my daughter's 15. I still try to tell her, boys have cooties. Stay away. But we see this time and time again, right? We have a drug epidemic. People are turning to drugs to fill that void in our life. So what is the wisdom of this world says? Hey, let's give them needles. Let's give them safe places. Let's do all these things. It's foolishness. The Bible tells us to raise up our child, to direct them in the way they should go. We live in a day and age where our government is trying to parse your kids away from you. Professing to be wise to become fools. Why? Because they've rejected God and created their own things. Paul told Timothy, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside the fables." Men would rather believe a lie than repent to the God that made them. But they still have this void in their life. They're looking for a purpose and a cause. I think some of the mental illness issues that we have aren't necessarily a physical problem, but it's a spiritual problem. People are looking for meaning and looking for hope. And the world does not have that. The world doesn't give peace. Jesus says, "I give peace," not as the world gives it, right? I mean, if you want to get along nowadays, basically you're told as a Christian, you shut up and just go along. That's how the world gives peace. Jesus gives peace from the inside, in here, that we are in line with our Creator. He is that propitiation. He has paid that penalty for us. And we come boldly before the throne of grace, not because of what I've done, but because of what He has done. What mighty God we serve. So in here we have the human heart has a desire to worship. We're designed for that, but we've rejected our Creator. And in here, filling the void with all these other things. Also, the other one, it's going to sound a little radical this morning, but I believe there is a satanic deception going on in this world. Right? Now, I'm not a demon slayer. I don't think every disease has a demon behind it, and I'm looking around, I'm not going to smack anyone on the head. Right? Try to cast all these things out. But in here, the Bible is clear that there are demonic forces taking place in this world behind the scenes. Once again, Paul told Timothy, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in a later time, some will depart from the faith, listening to this, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with iron." Right? We see this playing out. And I believe you listen to what's taking place, of what we're doing to our children, of what we're promoting as a society. It is the epitome of Antichrist. Is it? Right? What is wrong is now being cleared right. And in here, there is a satanic influence behind these things. Paul told the Corinthians, he says, be careful. He says, what am I saying then? That an idol is anything? Or what is offered to idols is anything? Rather, that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to what? Demons. And not to gods. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. Now, in here, right? I remember as a kid, I went to the Minnesota State Fair with a group of friends. And I played a game and I won. And I never win anything. I am the biggest loser you've ever seen. I never win anything. And I won. And I was so excited. I don't know, I was probably about 7 years old. And my prize was this chubby little fat guy. And I didn't know what I thought was funny. He's this chubby little fat guy. But it was a major award. It's almost like the Christmas story, right? It was a major award. And so I brought it home. And my mom looked at it. And she's like, that's a Buddha that's not coming in my house. And I'm like, it's a major award. And she goes, no, it's a false god. I just thought it was a fat guy, right? I thought it was my future. And so he turned around and threw it away. And I cried. I'm like, I wanted it. And I wasn't looking to worship it. It was just a major award. Right? We see these statues and things. People exalt certain things up to be gods. Now, be clear that in that, those are wood. Actually, this was plastic. Right? These are all things. They're not really a god. There's nothing there. But the Bible does warn us that behind these things are demonic forces. That in here, we have false miracles taking place. We have false prophecies taking place. We see this laid out because there are spirits out there. Satan from the beginning has been distorting the truth. Genesis chapter 3 tells us in the Garden of Eden that God created all things well, right? Actually, this is where we are on Wednesday night, 6:30. Come on out for Bible study. We'll pick up this. There's a plug. But in here, Satan shows up on the scene. And the first thing he says, did God really say? Right? He starts twisting the words of God and distorting. And that is being carried out today. The best way to arm yourself against that is to know the word of God yourself. My people perish for lack of knowledge. And it is sad. I told you guys, I've quoted this before. I read a survey that something like 75% of all churches only focus on roughly 10% of the Bible. That we are really equipping these Christians so poorly that people don't know the Word of God. And so Satan uses that. And we're told in the book of Ephesians to put on the whole armor of God, that we can stand against the wiles of the devil, the schemes of the devil, right? That we can be prepared. He has equipped us for these things. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, verse 13, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. God wants us to stand on his truth and not waver. And the only way we can do that, the armor of God, we have the helmet of salvation, know that we're saved. Right? The breastplate of righteousness, of declaring what is right and doing what is right. Feet shall with truth, with peace. The peace of God which passes understanding. The shield of faith. The belt of truth. Folks, we need the truth more than ever before. Amen? I mean, it is lie after lie after lie, no matter where you are. Don't believe it. God's word is true. Christian, stand in those things. Equip yourself in it. That when all these things come against us, we can stand. Because it gets hard to stand. Right? The wind comes against us. Temptations are surround us. And Satan plays that game all day long. So Satan can appear as an angel of light. 2 Corinthians says this, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing for his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, and those end be according to their works. If Satan shows up, he's not going to show up with a red suit, with horns and a pitchfork. He's not going to do that. Right? He's going to show up as some suave, good-looking, smooth talker. Right? The serpent told Eve, "Look, isn't that look fruit? That fruit looked great. It was, pleasant to the eye." Right? Temptation comes in all forms. It's attractive. And Christian, if we're not careful, we'll be deceived. I can't believe all the stuff that's coming up on my Facebook feed now of all these false prophets who are talking about Donald Trump and all these things. And some of them I click on, and I'm just like, whoa! I just came across something. It's all about, this is all prophesied because Trump is like Jesus, because in the Garden of Gethsemane, the servant got his ear cut, and Trump got his ear cut. So therefore, Trump is like Jesus. And I'm like, whoa! And I looked and it had like almost a million views. Right? YouTube's not good for my blood pressure. I'm like, seek the truth. Know the truth. And people are falling for this. Why? Because there is a spiritual force behind these things. Ephesians talks about what's going on, and in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and the mind, and by nature children of wrath, just as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love in which he loved us. In here, the world is marching and Satan is playing the flute. And we're seeing this sweep, that there is a force behind these things. Isn't that they're always the cleverest, isn't always the smartest, but there is a demonic force. And Christians, we need to be aware of that. And because of that, I'm going to wrap things up here in 1 John. Folks, be aware of these things. Don't fall for the trap. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Do what you're supposed to be doing. Seek out the truth. Right? You don't have to learn every lie. Just learn the truth. And God will equip you and keep you in these things. But John writes here to the believers, says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. For many false prophets have gone out into this world. By this you will know the Spirit of God, and the spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come into the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus is come in the flesh is not of God. See, what was happening in this day and age with John was there were those who were coming that Jesus came, that he was just a spirit, he wasn't flesh. So they're denying the humanity of Christ. And that was the false doctrine that people were buying into. Jesus didn't really die on the cross because he didn't have flesh. He was just a spirit. And that goes contrary to the word of God. So John equips the believers here. He says, look, here's the test. What do they do with Jesus? And you'll find out real quick. There's a lot of people who say, oh, I believe in God. Well, James says that the devils believe in God too. Right? They're not saved. They're not doing what is right. What about Jesus? You want to shut down a conversation? You start talking about Jesus. People will talk about angels all day long, right? They'll talk about nature. They'll talk about God. You can talk about all these things. But you talk about Jesus, and man, all of a sudden you'll find out who's for you and who's against you. As Christians, think of that hymn, Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Right? Jesus, Jesus, there's something about that name. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. At the name of Jesus, Satan cringes. It's interesting, we're told in the book of Jude that Michael the archangel was fighting over the body of Moses with the devil. You know, this is where the young bucks are like, oh, I'm going to take on Satan. I'm going to do all, right? Talking to some of these pastors, they're like, oh, I'm just going around slaying demons and all that. You know, it's interesting that Michael the archangel didn't fight with Satan. He just said, the Lord rebuke you. It's the name of Jesus. It's the name of Jesus. In here, if we live the name of Jesus in our lives, declare who he is, we can fight against the wiles of the devil, not fall for these things. But notice what it says here. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. The spirit of Antichrist, the spirit that is against Christ, against the things of God. And folks, the spirit of Antichrist, I think, is alive and well today. It's at work around us. Christians, test the spirit. Right? Even myself, I challenge you every week, go home and go through the scriptures. I try to put the verses on here so you have them. These aren't my words. I want them to be his words. Don't believe it because the pastor said so. Amen, pastor? Not because the pastor said so, but because God said so. Be like the Bereans. Search out the scriptures to find out if this is true or not. But notice the promise here, and this is what I want to leave you through. All these things aren't to scare you as Christians. It's to make you aware. But notice how this ends.
If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this is a promise that you have you can take to the bank. Verse 4 says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them." Why? Because you're great and you're powerful and you're smart and you're wise? Not at all. Why? Because he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Amen? If you have the Lord Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, he comes and dwells in you. That in here, the promise, the seal of the Holy Spirit is upon your life. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Christian, read the end of the book. That's why we started with Revelation 17. You're the scary beast. Keep reading. Jesus comes back on a white horse. He is victorious. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is all those things in our lives. Let us seek him, worship him, live for him. Have this whole world but give me Jesus. And his word will guide you along the way. His word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our paths. Let's pray. Our Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word of God. We thank you. We can take these things and apply it to our lives. Lord, help us to be alert and aware that we don't fall for the enemy's schemes. But Lord, ground us in the truth, which is your word. Encourage us with these things. Lord, we thank you for lunch as the follow, Lord. Thank you for those who have shared in the generosity of spirit. Lord, use the fellowship, Lord, to bind us together around you. Lord, we ask these things in your name. Amen. Why don't we stand and sing?